Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So we're going to roll along with this theme of figuring out what is it that you really need in order to grow your business. And that's actually like a really big and important question, because it's the same sort of thing like with your body. You know, if you're not feeling right, if something is off, you don't just start taking random vitamins. You don't just start working out randomly or just going to a spin the wheel kind of doctor, right? Just like, this feels right. I'm just going to run with it, right? It's really important to be able to diagnose what's going on in your business so that you can figure out what kind of support you need or what kind of changes you need to do. And that's what this episode is really all about, is helping you understand how to figure out first what is happening. Like, why is your business not performing the way you want it to perform? And then what can you do about it? So what are the actual remedies that you can look for so you can either get the coach you need or just get the training you're after, or maybe you can just fix it yourself?
Yep. And a big topic of what we're going to be diving into here is really the conversation of, is it really strategy and more marketing and more of the systems that you're looking for? Are you in a season where it's more so needing to dive into the internal work, where it's more so about your embodiment, where it's your energetics, where it's about the mindset and understanding the difference between the two?
And that's a thing. Some of this stuff that we're going to talk about is not going to be exactly cut and dry, right? So for each one of these, what I'd like you to do as you're listening to it is try it on and not just feel it out from a feeling like emotional place, or even just a logical place, but use everything you've got, right? So for each thing that we're going to present to you here, feel it, you know, check in with your emotions. How do you feel about this thing? Do you feel like this, what it could be happening in your business? Look logically. Do you have the reasonable clues that point you in this direction? And also use your intuition. That way you're going to use all of your tools at your disposal to diagnose things correctly. Because sometimes, especially when we're talking about, you know, is it mindset or strategy? The way to diagnose it can be much more subtle than you think. It could be something that you can only really tell when you close your eyes in absolute silence afterwards and you feel and, you know, think and send your intuition into this. Or it might not be, right? It might be a very logical thing that you can just kind of look at your numbers and look at your business and boom, there you go. So this is a little bit more of a thinking episode. And it's going to require a little bit of thought from your side to really make use of all the things that we're going to give you. But it'll be really, really worth your while.
I want to do like a little bit of a, like, Sally comes in and she's struggling with her business, right? So let's kind of create a character here, and you guys, wherever you are, you can resonate with it and see how that feels for you. And then we can kind of like have the conversation of how would we work with Sally and what would we address there? How does that feel, Dan?
I love that. That's really fun. Let's do it.
Cool. So let's say Sally she's been in this business thing for a little bit, right? She knows who her ideal client is. Let's say she's a coach. We work with a lot of coaches. She has been doing her coaching for a little bit, and she's trying to figure out, like, how does she actually get past this point where she feels like she's constantly chasing clients and hustling and trying to make ends meet, but it's not like she's still craving to get to that place of like hitting that 10K per month.
Okay. So there are a few things that I heard in there. I don't know if those would be like the ultimate solutions, right? Because sometimes we need to piece things together. And sometimes the solutions aren't just mindset or just strategy. Sometimes it's a little mix. But a couple of the things that I heard in there, I would help reduce the stress and the pressure. There's something that a lot of entrepreneurs do, and I feel like it's almost like a rite of passage. It seems like we all do this to ourselves at one point, is get into this place where our drive or our need to succeed becomes the thing that screws us up. You know, it is this thing, you got to get to this 10K, you got to get to 10K, you got to get to 10K. You see it all over, like, yeah, online, all the marketing, all that shit. It's a made up fucking thing. It makes no sense at all. Like, who gives a shit? Really, who gives a shit? Because $10,000 could be a lot for someone and nothing for someone else. So in and of itself, it's meaningless, right? It's a meaningless end goal. But it could become a demon in your closet because every morning you might wake up like, oh, I'm not there yet. What am I doing wrong? What's happening? I got to work more. I got to hustle more. And that's what usually happens is that people, the natural inclination is to step on the gas even harder, which increases your stress, increases anxiety, increases mistakes, increases the chances you're going to overlook something, increases the chances of you internalizing something, saying that, no, this is not the thing that just happened. I fucked it up, right? And that could negatively spiral someone really quick. So one of the things that I would really want to start off with this client is helping relieve the pressure, finding all the reasons internally that she feels like she needs to get to this point, and then eliminate them so that she can be much more easeful, much more slow and careful and flowing in this process, because her energy will shift. Clients will have a much better time with her, right? They'll actually enjoy their sales calls instead of feeling like she's just trying to manipulate them into buying, and things will start flowing in a much better way.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned in regards to them really needing to reduce stress and anxiety. And I think this is a big part of what comes up for so many people when we sit down and we look at, okay, what are you doing? And oftentimes they're doing everything right, but they're doing it from the wrong state of being. Does that make sense? So it's like you're showing up consistently on social, you're creating your content, you're marketing, you're doing all of the things, but the way that you're doing it or the energy that you're coming from is what's throwing you off. And it's what's making you less and less attractive because you're coming from this very like forceful, scarcity oriented, kind of fear driven place. Even though you're masking it in a way, it's still the undertone of everything you're creating. So exactly like Dan mentioned, the first thing that we want to do is start to alleviate a lot of the stress and anxiety. And the second thing I would add on to this is really working on the embodiment and how you're actually showing up, right? How are you actually embodying, encapsulating the energy of which you are prescribing to your audience, right? Because whatever it is you're teaching, whether it's health coaching, wellness coaching, fitness coaching, mindset coaching, embodiment coaching, or any of the pieces, people are going to be connected to the energy behind what it is you're sharing. And like we've shared in many posts, podcast episodes previously, communication is very, very little about what you actually say and so much more about how you say it. And that's really the undertone of all of this is how are you communicating what you're communicating?
And it brings up something that I just want to touch on just real quick here. And we've covered it before. It might be really basic bitch kind of thing to say this, but you know, the unconscious learns by repetition. So here you go. You can't hide a fucking thing. That's it. Just remember that. You can't hide anything. You know, some of you are like, oh, you know, I'm feeling scarcity. Don't worry about it. It's through writing, right? I text it. No, you fucking can't. People will feel it. Like, and it's, there is wild thing because whatever mood you're in, whatever's going on in your unconscious is going to change the words that come to your mind, the structure, the form, the content, all of it. And the beautiful thing is you won't know. And some people are like, oh yeah, I will. No, you won't. it's that's not how self-awareness works. That's one of the traps, right? Is that people think that, oh, well, I'm self-aware, right? My brain is working fine. Everything is normal. I can hide everything because that's just how I feel inside of my own head. The problem is you can't be aware of the things you're not aware of because you're not aware of them, right? It's called the Dunning-Kruger paradox. You can look that up. And it affects everybody. So instead of trying to hide, instead of trying to mask, instead of trying to do anything and think that you can pull one over people, which is an ugly manipulative energy, by the way, just assume that everybody can see your innermost thoughts, right? And start from there. If you can't hide at all, what would you do, right? What would your next steps be? And I know for me, it would be like, well, you know, if I'm feeling afraid, why I need to go handle that fear before I'm going to write this thing. Or I'll write about the fear. I'll own that shit. And I'll just make that part of my story, right? So that I don't have to hide, right? I can talk about it, bring this up, and it might be something that someone else connects with. So just kind of assume that as like a rule. You know, you can't hide anything from your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll touch on this slightly here of this vulnerability piece that comes up, because I feel like everyone has a different perspective of, you know, how vulnerable is too vulnerable. And I think that's another piece that a lot of people struggle with in marketing, and especially with their business. And I think it really depends on the business that you're running and what you're speaking about and who you're speaking to. So I don't think that it's a black and white, don't share this and do share that. I think it comes so much more down to who you actually are, what's an integrity with your brand and with the people that you're wanting to connect with, and what's an integrity with who you actually are in the sense of like the business that you're building and how you're supporting people. Does it feel congruent to dive into these deeper parts of your heart and your soul if that's resonant with what it is you're doing with the clients that you're working with? So that's that piece. And so, all right, now Sally has got the mindset work. She's feeling less stressed. She's feeling more ground. She's like, okay, I know that I want to get to 10K per month, but I know it doesn't have to happen right away. And I'm going to trust this process. And I'm going to do the embodiment work to make sure I'm showing up in my most empowered self, that I'm feeling really confident in who I am, that I'm feeling really loving, that I'm feeling really grateful, that I'm feeling really excited, that I'm feeling really in my body. Sally's next step that I would encourage is to look at how she's marketing. So this is where we would get a little bit more into the strategy, which is actually super, super simple. Okay, great. How are you actually creating content, and where have your last few clients come from? Because one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is that they're so seduced by everyone's marketing of you need this and you need this and you need this and you need that, that we're spreading ourselves so thin versus actually just filling ourselves up with one cup. So it's important to recognize like what social platform is actually your core provider. And for the majority of you, you'll probably have either one main one or potentially two. Personally, my core two platforms have always been Facebook and Instagram. The majority of my clients more so have come from Facebook in the early years, and then the later years, it's been a more so heavier switch over to Instagram. So it's having the awareness of like, okay, where do you actually get your clients from, and where, like, how are they coming to you? If they're just coming from these two places, then you don't need to be spending your energy focusing on 30 other places if that's not where they're coming from. You want to be really, really strategic about this and about how you're spending your time so that you're not spending it on things that aren't supporting you. So once we get clear on, okay, where are your clients coming from? How are you actually leveraging those platforms? The next thing that we want to look at is how are you showing up on those platforms? Are you actually connecting with people that are in your ideal client market, right? Are these people that are actually wanting to work with you? Or are you finding that the people that are in your current audience aren't necessarily the people that are the people you're wanting to attract? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of those things also, like this comes down to a very tactical kind of thing, which is really paying attention to what's happening in your business and tracking things. You know, whatever isn't managed, it just tends to kind of fall apart. And again, we're talking about how to diagnose, right? Well, you want to have as much data as possible. So right now with Sally, kind of with you, it'd be like, well, write everything down, log everything. Log every single one of your sales calls, every single one of your clients. Where do they come from? Have some way to track how they found you, and write down copious notes from your sales calls. That way, you know, you can see a trend in what people are coming to you for. What are they talking about? What are their issues? What are their hidden issues that they don't know about? And just gathering as much data as you possibly can so that you can figure these patterns out. So yeah, it's perfect sense.
Cool. So from here, Sally now knows, okay, I need to show up empowered. I need to reduce the stress and just make sure that like I'm able to come from a place where I feel more at ease, more in flow. And I know that I show up on my core platform, which is this and that. Now, what's happening, right? So this is where we actually look at like, okay, what's the actual strategy behind your marketing? Are you consistently interacting and engaging with your ideal client? Are you consistently creating content that's interacting with them that they feel like, wow, this is so resonant for me. This is so potent. This is so powerful. Or are you finding that you're getting a lot of crickets? And it doesn't seem to matter how much that you're posting that no one's responding and no one's engaging and no one's interacting. So depending on what your response is on social, it tells me one of two things. If you have people that are engaging and responding and reacting, it means awesome. People are consuming your content and they resonate with it. which is great. It's a huge correlation of you are doing the right thing when it comes to your content creation. If you're finding that you're getting a lot of crickets, it means one of two things. Either the message that you're sharing is not resonating with the people that are currently in your audience, or the people that you're targeting aren't necessarily aligning with your message. Does that make sense? So it's either a mismatch in your ideal client and the message that they want to hear, or and the message that you want to share. So we need to figure out, okay, is it that I'm speaking to the right people, but I'm not saying the right things? Or is it that I'm saying the right things, but speaking to the wrong people? Is this making sense, Dan?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Totally.
So from here, it's really where we want to assess. Okay, great. If you are speaking to X people and you start to actually get to know them, or you start to have a little bit of feedback of like, these are the core things that are coming up for them. I had a conversation with a client, a few days ago, who had been trying to really get into this CrossFit market and really trying to market himself as like mindset nutrition type of coach and helping them like optimize their performance. But what he wasn't realizing is he was like spewing all these messages about optimization and health and like stress and all the benefits of it. But the audience that he was targeting on all the calls that he had been in and the interviews that he had done, they were all, their core focus was on aesthetics, on wanting to actually look better. And so there was a mismatch in the message that he wanted to share and the ideal clients that he was currently targeting. And so it was a shift of, okay, well, it may just be that these aren't necessarily your ideal client, actually. It may be that you have a great message. It's that the message isn't for these clients. And so the shift is, who's actually going to really resonate with this message? And we got in the conversation of, who are the people that are actually going to really care about performance? They're going to really care about like being able to show up more powerfully. They're going to be really like find this as the thing that like really drives them. And that's where we got into the conversation of competitive athletes. Oh, it's like these type of people that are actually going to prioritize that first. And it's less about the aesthetics for them, right? Because the aesthetics are like a byproduct of that. Their core focus is, how am I showing up in the game? So I bring this up because it's an interesting conversation where a lot of the times we get very into the piece of who's your ideal client and what's your core message and what's your core offer. And when we do this in a very heady place, we try to create something that we think is going to work, but it may not necessarily be what's most resonant for us. So then we go to create content. And then when we create content, we're creating content from a place of passion, from a place of excitement, from a place of inspiration. And then we find ourselves feeling frustrated when we're not getting the response from the people that we're trying to target. And oftentimes it's because there's a mismatch there, because the ideal client that we're targeting is coming from our head, but the message that we want to share is coming from our heart. And there's something that's not in alignment between the two. So that's really where we want to start to look at, okay, there is an element of strategy here, but this actually comes so much more down to self-awareness and you becoming more aware of like who you actually are, the core message that you really want to share and the people that you really want to work with. And then from there, just making those little shifts in how you're speaking to them, who you're resonating with and how you're showing up.
And it's also a question of, you know, are you talking about what they need or what they want? Because a lot of times there is a way to do that. You can lead people from what they want to what they need. And with that client example, by the way, it is very possible that, you know, people who care about aesthetics, it's like, look, just help me look better. And that's your in by giving them what they want. But if what they need in order to look better is performance and diet and all these other things, then there actually is a way to connect those as well. It's just even more awareness of what are you talking, where are you meeting them where they at, or are you bringing them to where you are? Are you gently guiding them from where they're at to where they need to be, or are the leaps too big? And I think that this was a major challenge for me, you know, first starting to learn marketing, because I only spoke about what they needed. But they didn't know they needed that. They didn't know why it was important. So there was no connection there, right? It's just like, you know, if you're trying to change someone's mood, let's say if you have someone who's really sad, it's very hard for you to come up and just tell them, hey, just be happy, right? Like, no, they're sad right now. Like, if they could, they would have done that. You know, a lot of the techniques you could show them, like, hey, be happy, be happy, be happy, and show them all this stuff, but they can't reach there from where they are. So they'll discount everything you're saying, even though it might be brilliant and even though it might be actually what they need. It's inaccessible to them. You know, so if you want to do that, really what the whole thing is, you got to meet them where they are. So show this sad person that you get them, that you feel them, that you almost can step inside of that person's heart and mind, and then gently bring them out of that and help them understand, you know, what you're doing and where you're going. And after a certain point of comfort and, of course, trust, that they can trust that you really see them and you really feel them, then they'll open up to you and then you can give them all that other stuff. And I hope that makes sense, right? It's a kind of a gradual sort of thing rather than a tug. And that can happen as well. And that's also, you know, learning copywriting, like just understanding the structures behind it, understanding the mindsets behind it, and having an even more strategic approach.
I'll speak into this as well, because this comes up a lot in like the health space, the wellness space, where there's almost like process that people move through when they go on this like health journey that you'll see. And I resonate with this deeply, where it starts with like, oh, I just want to like lose the weight and look good, to then it becomes, oh, I actually like want to feel really good in my body and like have like a certain aesthetic appeal, to then it becomes like, I actually want to improve my health, to then it becomes, I just actually really want to learn like how to love myself and train optimally. And so all of these people are great potential ideal clients, but the question then becomes is like, who's actually ready for what it is you want to teach, for what it is you want to do? Because if you're somebody who's really wanting to focus on self-love and empowerment and understanding how to like love your body and be more intuitive with how you train and how you eat, you're going to run into a lot of resistance when you're speaking to the person who's just so heavily focused on like wanting to lose the weight, right? So it's important to recognize as well for yourself of like, okay, who actually is the person that I want to work with? Like, where are they in their journey to where they're ready to receive this? Because that's the shift that's going to really make the difference in your marketing, to where you're not just attracting people who are like, well, I want weight loss. I want weight loss. I want weight loss. And you don't want to teach weight loss, but then this is what these people are asking for. And then you have to go through this whole process of re-educating them on this is like why this isn't actually what they need. Right. And that's where you run into the issue a lot of times, where you have people who then become frustrated because they're not getting what they actually came in for, what they thought was going to be like a training program or a regimen or whatever it was. But instead they're getting this conversation on body love and self-talk or whatever those pieces are. And they're just not ready to receive that yet. So it's this beautiful little dance that you got to do with yourself and with the people that you want to work with, and making sure that you feel congruent with what it is that you're sharing, with what it is that you're teaching, and where it is that you're meeting people. Because yes, there is somebody that is at every single season and they are so ready to receive you when you learn how to connect with where they're currently at.
Yeah. And the thing is also, you know, as you have, you know, as you progress in your entrepreneurial journey, that all of that can change, by the way, as well, because you'll feel, and we've done many episodes on pivoting, so just check back, and they're fairly recent, of like, you know, you wake up and like, well, I want to talk about something else, right? And yeah, you've got to kind of flow with yourself as well and know where you're at and know where they're at. And so you can see how a lot of the business strategy is actually, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's awareness. It's not even a mindset thing. It's just paying attention and really feeling into you and feeling into them. And then like a normal conversation, as if a person was really in front of you, you kind of need to know both. Otherwise, you're not talking the same language. And then it doesn't matter how loud you talk or how much you talk, which is, you know, in marketing is like how many times you post or whatever, right? It doesn't matter. You know, you could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But if I don't understand what the hell you're talking about, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference. So that's also important, because, you know, as our fictional business owner, Sally, grows through her business and goes through all these things, she's going to explore different parts of her. And the entrepreneurial journey will bring up all sorts of things: insecurities, doubts, fears, old memories, old traumas, you know, old discomforts, resistance, all of this stuff. And it's important to be able to deal with it. And there are a myriad of different ways. Some people go through, you know, energy or spiritual healing, some people more cognitive, some people more somatic. Honestly, you know, as you're getting in, it almost doesn't matter at first. Get help, get support so you can learn. And the more you dig into that, the more you'll figure out where you're at and what kind of support you need. It's one of those things, unfortunately, sometimes it's like, how do you know you're ready? Well, you start and then you kind of figure it out, you know? And we'll also get into in later episodes how to figure out what kind of emotional or cognitive or somatic support you really need after you're starting to get a little bit more info about what's going on. But almost like anything, especially in the early stages, will just help you balance yourself out and then give you even more space. And then with Sally, what I would do is say, okay, you create your space, you're having your conversation with your clients, things are moving, things are growing, you're getting more clients, you're having more motion. Well, now it's time to make sure that everything is kind of contained. And that's when you need systems and you need tracking and you need just a way to manage all different sides of your business. And that isn't even considering you adding a team member, right? That's just you, just dealing with you, yourself, and your business to make sure, right? Like I have all sorts of tracking forms. I track every single one of my sales calls and then all the details from the sales calls. Where did they come from? What did they buy or not buy and why? And you know, did I send them their agreement? Did they send it back? Have they made their payments? All this other stuff. They're tracking forms for your clients, right? So you know where they are and what they need. And so it's more predictive and proactive. And that's really going to help you grow, right? Because you know where things are. It's like order in your room. You know, if you're trying to work in an incredibly messy office, it just makes everything more difficult for no reason at all, just because it's messy. And so here you want to kind of clean up your business office and keep things nice and tidy so you know where everything is at. You know where everybody is at. You know what's working, what's not working. You have dates for everything, your product launches. So you know when to start marketing and how and all that stuff. And I guess the idea here is the more effort you put into managing and tracking, the less you need to think about it. That means the less you need to worry about it. And that's really important as you grow.
Yeah. And one thing that's really coming up here is to just keep it simple. I think it's so easy to get so caught up in the conspiracy of like more, like more strategies, more things, more funnels, more all of it, that we overcomplicate the business and we forget the basics. But the truth is, and you know, I have friends and peers who have had incredible success, who've done $500,000 up to $1 million a year with the simplest things. So the truth is you don't actually need all of these complex tools and pieces when you are energetically aligned and when you have a strategy and a simple strategy that works really well and you're consistent with it. So I think the biggest thing is before you look at consistently adding more to your plate, make sure that you've mastered and you've really taken charge of the one piece that's been working thus far and grow it until it hits capacity. And then at that point, that's when you can look at, okay, what's the one next best step versus jumping into all of the other pieces? Because I know I've made this mistake in the past where it's like, oh, let's build a funnel and let's dive into ads and let's do challenges and let's do lead magnets. And it's like, hold up. What was the thing that actually worked? Oh, Facebook Lives and creating consistent content and sharing on stories. Got it. Let me get back to basics because me spending all of my time and energy focusing on building out all these other things is taking away from my capacity to actually show up for the things that I know work. And those are the things that I've seen so many of my peers and friends be able to grow $500,000 to $1 million companies. And in some cases, $2.5 million companies. And again, it's so simple. But oftentimes it's like the reason why we want to overcomplicate it is we're putting outside. We're basically projecting what's happening inside of us, outside of us, meaning that we're hoping that the answer is something that is outside of us because we don't actually want to do the internal work, right? We're like, it can't be me. We come from this place of like superiority in a way, feeling like we've got it all figured out inside. And so we're just like, okay, I just need the strategy. And I say this having been in this industry for 4 years and having worked with literally hundreds of entrepreneurs and being inside 4 different 7-figure companies. Very rarely is it actually the strategy. It's so much more about how you are embodying the strategy, right? So you can work any strategy and it can be incredibly successful, but the real work comes down to like, are you actually embodied in how you're showing up in your business? And I think that's really the biggest piece here is like, if you're in a place where you're feeling really confident, where you're feeling really clear on what your business is and who you're working with and what your message is, and you're feeling really grounded and embodied, great. Here's a super simplistic strategy. Execute it, leverage it, grow it. And then when you've maxed out on this, again, you can easily hit $500,000 to $1 million company with just social media marketing. At that point, then you can go ahead and dive into the other pieces. But don't try to jump into things too soon, I think is the biggest thing that I really want to forewarn here, because it takes away from the thing that's actually working already. And oftentimes people try to grow too quickly and then they crash and burn, right? So really bring awareness to, number one, similar to the conversation we've had with Sally at the beginning, slowing down, right? Enjoying the journey, enjoying the process. There's so much of a, what is the word, Dan? It's such like an interesting paradigm we're living in right now of like speed and getting there as quickly as possible and growing the business as fast as you possibly can and hitting these insane numbers that we feel like we have to constantly be on and doing more. But the reality is, if you allow things to just happen more organically, more naturally, they'll get there. It just might take a little bit longer than you originally intended. And so the gift here for those of you tuning in and listening is, number one, have patience, have perseverance, be resilient, but also really check in with yourself. Ask yourself, like, would you follow you? Would you invest in you? If you were to look at how you're showing up right now on your social, your core platforms, whatever those are, are you actually magnetized by your own content? Like, would you invest in you? And if the answer is like, maybe, I don't know, then that's where we got to start. Because none of the other stuff is going to make any difference if you haven't mastered those simplistic foundational pieces yet.
And that goes, you know, back into a very much mindset thing. It's this concept of more is more. It sounds simple, almost so simple, it sounds dumb. As I said, like, that sounds really stupid, but it is really important because more is more to a point, and then more becomes less, and then more eventually becomes nothing. It's the same concept, right? Where people are like, well, you know, I can do one thing at a time, but I want to do more. I'll do two things at a time. And we created this thing called multitasking, which is a massive mistake. Okay. Everybody thinks they can do it because our brains are designed in such a way that we aren't aware of the damage that we're doing. And it's really simple, right? Multitasking. Why do one thing well when you could do two things badly, right? That's what multitasking is. And I know you might be thinking and saying, no, Dan, I can do it. Yes, you are the one unique snowflake, the only human who has ever existed where this rule does not apply to. Sorry, it's not true. We all have this thing. You know, when you focus on one thing, you could put all of your attention, all of your thought, all of your tools towards dealing with it, you know, learning it, solving it, whatever it requires. When you multitask, what's actually happening is your brain very quickly is jumping attention from one thing to another. The problem is that there is uptake and then there's also a downslope of attention. So, you know, just like working out, you can't just like jump in. You got to work up. Yeah, you got to warm up a little bit, right? Well, attention does the same thing. And the only thing is, when you're bouncing between two things very quickly, you're losing a lot of time. You're losing a lot of attention. You're overlooking things. You're using heuristics, shortcuts, right? And so essentially, you get sloppy. The dangerous thing is you aren't aware of your sloppiness until you've made a mistake. And by then, it's too late. Right? It's the same thing with business. You know, we think more and more and more. I'll do a challenge. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. Great. Do 10 things horribly instead of one thing really well. Right? Like, why? Because it feels right? Because it's a mindset thing. It's just an issue. It's like, it's really interesting. Almost every single one of my clients comes in with this almost like badge. They want to be my hardest client. Dan, I hope you're ready. You know, I'm super duper fucked up, right? You've never seen anybody like me, right? Like, I'm your hardest client, aren't I? It's ridiculous how many times I get that question. And really, it's because people want their challenges, they want their problems to feel big because it gives them a sense of significance. When we fight big problems, we feel bigger. And so there is this thought, this feeling unconsciously where if my solution is really simple, that means something about me. Or it means something about my problem, or it means something about my process because I've been struggling with this so much. how, if it's a simple solution, that must mean I'm an idiot, or it must mean I wasn't trying hard, or it must mean whatever. It doesn't mean any of these things. None of those stories matter. None of those stories are real. Zero, zilch. And so that's why it becomes a mindset issue to allow yourself to master one thing at a time, to have things be easy, to have things be simple, to have things be basic. And then it doesn't mean anything, right? Like, hey, if your solution is focus on one thing, focusing on Instagram organic marketing and master that, and you can get to that coveted 10 grand a month thing, isn't that amazing? It's a simple thing. It's an easy thing. Wonderful. Why overcomplicate it, right? When you get yourself out of the way, remove your ego, remove all those stories that have to do with you, then all of a sudden you get to this place where it's okay for things to be easy. And you know what the weird thing is? A lot of times when we allow things to be easy, they become easy. It's like, it's such a stunning concept, but sometimes more is not more.
I love that. I just think of like all of the people that I've worked with over the years who are like, it can't be this easy. I don't know what to do when I'm not working, right? And all of the stories that come up. And I think like mindset is such a big component of this, and also embodiment, right? It's like we're so stuck in our old selves that we're essentially addicted to this character role we've been playing for years and years and years. And this is where it's like, yo, I hear you. I see that, like, you know, this is a character you've been in for however long, but is that the person that's going to be able to create what it is you actually want to experience? And so it's an integration of a lot of the mindset and a lot of the embodiment work of like, how are you actually choosing to embody every single day the person, the man, the woman capable of creating what it is you actually want to create? Because the person who's capable of creating that isn't who you are, right? It's somebody that you're becoming. So you really have to allow yourself to step into this reality, that this place of acceptance and surrender, that who I've been is not the person that's capable of creating what I want to create. I have to become somebody different. And when you can create that detachment from the old self and the old identity, then it's like, okay, great. Let me actually start to surrender in this process, to start to shed, to release, to purge what's no longer serving me, appreciate the parts that are still congruent in alignment, and then move into this energetic embodiment. And I mean, quite literally, the energy that this version of you embodies that's capable of creating what it is you want to experience. And that's really the depth of this work. So to kind of sum this all up here, the strategy is really, really simple, guys. It's so simple that sometimes it's hard because it's too simple, right? It's like, how can it be that easy? The real work, 70, 80, 90% of the time, it comes down to self-awareness, you being aware of like who you actually are, who you actually want to work with, what your actual mission is in the world. And that comes down to like you actually having a relationship with yourself, knowing yourself. And then the embodiment, the mindset, the pieces that help you move through whatever you feel is limiting you or stopping you or keeping you from showing up as your most powerful self, right? And then from there, when you're feeling most like in your most empowered, most embodied state, you're able to execute so much more easily when it comes to the strategy.
That's the whole thing, right? It's this constant process, right? Of getting yourself out of it so that your strategies can really work even more, so that all these things that, you know, Sophie is saying can actually have a place and they fit. And this constant listening. I mean, listening to your clients, yes, but also listening to you, really listening. And it's hard also when we're running around from thing to thing to thing and we're trying to do 10 different things in our business and we're trying to have a social life. Jesus, you know, there's things outside of business. It's weird, of a strange concept, right? You have other things that you can do. And it's really important to give yourself time. This is where meditation can become very useful, because it really is just a dedicated time for you to connect with yourself and to feel, to listen. And instead of trying to bully yourself into an identity or push or pull yourself into being something, you know, because you saw someone else do it or you think that that's who you need to be or whatever story you've got, it's just listening and being there for yourself for whatever messages come up, whether you like them or not, right? And then being able to roll with them and do something about them. Because that'll also tell you. It's so funny sometimes. I have a client in front of me yesterday, this happened yesterday, where this client comes to me and says, Dan, I don't know what's going on. Everything is falling apart. And I just asked him a couple questions. And he told me what was actually happening. Like, I didn't have to diagnose him. And he was correct. Here he is, you know, one side of him trying to tell me he has no idea what's going on. But then when we just gave him a moment to listen, to be there with himself and ask just a couple of simple questions, he knew exactly what was going on, and he knew exactly what kind of help he needed, and he knew exactly what he needed to do, to a point where I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm like, I'm a stenographer. I'm writing down notes for you at this point. Like, I'm not doing anything, right? So there's a lot of times where you do know what you need, and you do know what kind of support you need, and you do know what the next step is, and maybe things are just too noisy, or too many things are happening all at the same time for you to hear your own messages. So I guess also, you know, allow yourself to trust yourself and to really be there for yourself and to be your own support as well, instead of always looking externally, thinking that you don't know what's going on, because I'm willing to bet you know a lot more than you think you do.
Love this. So a lot of juicy content in this episode. We went pretty deep. But all that being said, if this resonated with you, take a few minutes and just hop on the iTunes store right there. Give us a 5-star if you really enjoyed this, and share with us in the comments section and let us know what your thoughts are, what you're thinking, if there's anything that's coming up for you inside of all of this, if there's any triggers. Love hearing about those. And if there's somebody that you know that needs to hear this, please, please, please share it with them. Let them know why it's so valuable to you, what was so juicy about it. And feel free to post it on IG stories. We love seeing posts about that as well. Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Dan, anything else you wanted to add in?
That's it. Lots of love, guys.